This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 1 hour in the books. Still 2 hours to go. The big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Obviously, the breaking news when we came on the air was the fact that Jalen Hurts is leaving Alabama and going to Oklahoma.
Was it? I thought it was my podcast drop.
Wait, did your podcast drop?
What?
I did not know that.
I didn't know it was at the15podcast.com.
I have not been on Twitter
at
today.
The15podcast on social media.
Looking
search
at your
the
Twitter.
15 on iTunes, Google Play.
I've seen a lot of other things.
The 15.
I have not seen it. That's crazy.
It's weird. This is weird.
Weird, wild stuff.
But it's wild and wacky. I did not know that, Ed. Wow.
Do you think Matt Hibbard listens to our show?
I don't know.
Tell okay. the people
Harab.
Who he is.
Harab?
Harab.
He just called
Harab.
Him Hibbard.
He called him Hibbard. That
Whatever.
Dude's on TV.
I don't care.
Matt, yeah, he does sometimes. He's texted me a couple times. Okay. I don't know if he does it a lot.
Never mind.
This is about the time he wakes up, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because he does late nights.
Because he does the overnights on the network.
Oh, okay.
He was nice Just enough chicken. He asked me to do an interview with him last night. He was nice enough to tape it, because I was like, bro, during your time slot, I'm going to be looking at the inside of my eyelids. That ain't happening.
Right. I feel you.
All right. Before we get to anything else, Brad carries over from hour number one, wants to talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts. Let's get him in real quick. Brad, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You guys were talking about Jalen Hurts not being on the field when they won last year, and you mentioned that he was the year before. Well, the year before they lost. That was his freshman year as the quarterback. They lost to Clemson. That was Watson's final game, and then. But I do think the Oklahoma choices. I mean, that's to me for him. He gets him, that's probably the best chance for him to get to a national championship and maybe face Alabama again, in the Final Four or at that point. And Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray both, I know Mayfield, when he transferred, he had to sit out a year. So he actually followed the rules of, the conference rules and so on and so forth. So it is still a little bit, goofy for Oklahoma to be overly concerned about anybody going to West Virginia. But anyway, just point that out.
Word up. Appreciate the call, Brad. Thank you. Yeah, I had forgot that was the Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I knew that he had gotten them to two straight. I thought that they had won one, and that's what the correction he made. I thought his freshman year was the year before.
So. Yeah, that's why I was like, I couldn't remember, so I wasn't going to argue with him.
And
I'm
with
you. He's probably right. But I do remember the last two, but I forgot about that.
Regardless, he led them a long way and was on the big stage and did a lot of good. And I thought he was going to transfer before this year or before he lost his red shirt for this year where he could have gotten 2 years somewhere else.
Right.
But, hey, he stepped up for them. He stepped up big when he stepped up for them to get them to where they were going. They just couldn't finish the deal.
So. He did indeed.
So there you have that. Other news kind of surfaced last night, and I don't know if you guys caught this or not. Nick, you had a lot of stuff going on, but the Rockets had to send Daniel House down to the G League. He's out of days on his two-way contract. So the only way that he can come back up and be a part of the Rockets is
to get paid.
If they get him a full regular contract.
Not like super paid, but paid more than a 45-day.
Yeah, you have to get the, whether it be the minimum, whatever it is. And, of course, Daryl Morey and the Rockets came to him and said, we'll give you a 3-year non-guaranteed deal.
Because they're not going to keep him.
they don't want to pay him because Daryl doesn't want that on the cap for next year and in the offseason.
That's a fair deal.
And is it, though? No, I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I don't think it is at all.
How many games has he played?
Now, this was Gary Clark. And Gary Clark wasn't drafted, hadn't proven himself really enough. Then I would understand that. But not only has Daniel House proven that he can play, but he started. And he's proven that when starting and fitting in with a guy like James Harden and other guys, that he's excelled. And his agent is smart to play chicken the other way. Daryl normally thinks he has the upper hand, and you got to sign this deal because you're not going to get another one. And I think whether he actually did the research and found out or not, he feels like his client, in this case House, proved that he's an NBA player that could play with a lot of different teams, and they're expecting that he's going to get a bigger offer for more money than taking kind of being strapped into a three-year deal for a low-level money.
Because the Clark's contract was not guaranteed, right?
I think it his was a three-year completely year non-guaranteed.
Yeah, I thought it was three. I'm going to look it up on SpotTrax. I thought it was four, but I didn't know if it was
the non-guarantee is the key, because that's the clause that Daryl likes, because then if he's working on a different deal, that cap hit won't hurt him.
I feel like if they shot that blank with Clark, and they probably should have saved it with... What? Oh.
Not going to do it. I had a chance and I'm not going to do it.
I feel like they shouldn't have done that with Clark, because they could have used that ammo with House. I would have much rather have seen them do that with House.
I see your point. The only thing that you know is you take what you know is guaranteed. And you didn't know at that time what House was going to bring and if he was going to be able to do and be nearly as effective as he's been. And you did know that while Clark was on the floor in the early stages, and especially, again, in preseason, Calvin Cato didn't teach you any lessons.
Exactly.
But in preseason and early in the season, Clark looked like a guy that could be an NBA player.
And he's just not.
Like, well, he's disappeared.
Yeah, it's been ugly. I mean, he's averaging 3.3 points a game, 2.7 rebounds, 0.6 blocks. He's putting up a 920 per. It's ugly. And
well, he's no Marquise Chris.
That's true.
Who's really bad. And it was a lottery pick.
Well, I mean, if he has offers, Daniel House, that is, then he should absolutely take it. Because if he's proven himself that much, then other teams will give him an offer.
So the Gary Clark contract, it looks like this year fully guaranteed. Next year, $1.4 million not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. 2020, 2021, $1.6 million not guaranteed. And then he's eligible for a qualifying offer in 2021, 2022.
So essentially, as long as Daryl knows how cap-strapped they are this year, but he also knows that as long as in the offseason he's not hindered by a lingering deal, he's going to be fine. And that's where we get into all this. And it was interesting to see, because Capella was like trying to reach out to Daniel House last night to encourage him to come on back. And this is a game of chicken. And normally, like I said, you know what? They're betting on his agent and himself. They're betting on him. They're basically saying, hey, we at least know that we have enough value and we've proven we can play in this league that we're going to get offers.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Do you think that there's any value in guys like Clark and House when it comes to moving them as part of a trade? If you could get them to be like, look, we'll give you this year and next, but then after that, it's going to be non-guaranteed. And then that way it becomes money that comes off the books for other teams maybe. That might be a way to kind of meet in the middle, because with the Clark thing, you can basically just you can include a guy that maybe has some potential, but it's just basically a body that gets included that adds some salary to the trade, but can come off.
I mean, that might be appealing to some teams.
Yeah.
You never know.
I mean, and that's the thing. Daryl can use the resource either way, but he'd prefer to not have to deal with trying to throw him into a deal to get him off his books if he does have guaranteed money after this year in the case of Clark. I think in the case of House, I think this is a bigger deal, and this is why I think that House and his agent have a little bit of control in this deal. They need him, because we've already said there's no big trade coming, no home run for this year where Jimmy Butler's coming after he moved him, and you've got to hang on to Gordon, and the pieces you have, you really have to rely on, because you're thin after you get through the starting five, and especially with the injuries. Austin Rivers and House have been the success stories for just picking a guy up off the street, fitting him in, and they've really – and the big thing with this, too, is Harden trusts him. And that's hard to do, and he's
that's
fit
true.
In.
That part is true, because I've seen the way they communicate in the locker room. But I'll ask you this, Joel. How possible is this a situation kind of like where Clint Capella was negotiating with his contract, and that you don't bid against yourself? Perhaps this is just a feeler offer. Hey, we'll give you a three-year contract, but it's not guaranteed. And in the event that they can get another offer somewhere else, or they have leverage like you mentioned, then perhaps they guarantee 1 year, maybe even two seasons. And I'm actually asking both of you, but what if you sweeten up the deal in the event someone else gives them a better deal?
Well, the kicker is he's signed a deal. So he's signed to you for the rest of the year. But he's only allowed in that year on that two-way deal.
45 days.
Yeah, 45 days, and those are up. So he's still under your control through the end of the season. Regardless, he's just got to play the rest of the year on the G League, but he ain't going anywhere else. No other team can snap him up like it used to be with the G League. But the kicker is then going forward, he's going to have all the control, be a complete free agent at the end of the year, and then he can just pick his team, pick his price, you know, work out his price and go get the best deal possible. And I think, again, it's such a fragile situation this year with trying to find help to build around this team. He's fit in. He's become a rotational player. He's trusted, and now he's gone. And that hurts them.
You wonder, I mean, the problem for the Rockets is manyfold. Like they lack depth, obviously, so he adds that. Their starters are banged up. Do you spend a lot of money on this guy to keep him, to keep you afloat for what? The fifth seed? The sixth seed? If this was a guy that you thought like a Capella where you're like, well, I mean, we have a chance to win the West if we can ink a Capella-like player. This isn't that guy. But if you lose him, like you said, it's Austin Rivers and House, and then it's a bunch of garbage after that. You lose half of your depth.
Garbage, huh?
Yep.
That's the word you're going to use. Garbage. Yeah.
After House and Austin Rivers on that bench?
Well, right now with the injury.
You're damn right I am going to use garbage. It's garbage. Have you watched? The few games I've watched,
I've never been to a Rockets game.
It doesn't look good. But So that's part of the question. And then the other part is, even if they wanted to throw big money on him, they're $30 million over the cap. So it's there's just so
that's
much
what
to
I'm saying.
Look
he's
at.
He's got the upper hand, like, because they're strapped in how many different options they might have. And the other thing on the Capella thing was, he proved himself. Remember the stats we kept throwing out there?
Yep.
Capella, Paul, Harden, when they're on the floor, was like some outrageous number, 55-5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, they lost.
House hasn't done that much to have that much control.
I mean, this is his third year. He's got 2 years of experience. The first year he didn't play at all.
Yeah, he bounced around.
Second
like
year
three
he averaged less than 7 a game or something like that. So, yeah. This, and I think he's not even averaging double digits this year. But he's played well in short doses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. You have to make that decision.
He's like a Roberson from Oklahoma City, right? He's a starter only because it's a unique situation, but he's maximized being a starter.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join in the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Come get your bill, because when I
shoot the gift, I shoot the kill. ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Wednesday. Nick with his farewell for the week before he heads to Vegas to have some fun with the Blitz.
Yeah, the show he cares about.
I totally care about it. I had a really good Way Back Wednesday idea, and he said that idea was whack, is what he said.
Totally whack.
What was it?
He said, should I just play songs about Vegas?
Yeah.
No. We're not going.
I suspect is going.
But selfishly,
one-third of the show is going.
Yeah.
What's our rule, Barry?
Majority rules. Mm-hmm. And two-thirds is not going, so that was whack. Vegas songs.
The people would have been cool with it.
No. What? Name one Vegas song.
I got one.
Damn. I should have Googled it before I came
I gave
to
you
the
two right off the top. Sheryl Crow, Leaving Las Vegas. Elvis, Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas is the one I should have thought of.
A little less conversation, a little more action. Isn't that it?
You do that commercial?
No.
With all the impersonators?
It did sound pretty good.
With all the Elvis
It sounds like somebody. I don't know
well,
who, but it sounds like somebody.
Race. Well, there's one for the money, two for the show. Where did I get it ready? No.
No? Lemonade.
I got to the bottom of the whole...
flat, cool, refreshing drink.
Pea crate situation. What I was supposed to be, rooming with AJ on the last night. So I was supposed to have my own room for the whole weekend, except for the last night. And then I was supposed to room with AJ. Turns out AJ got out of the situation.
So he's leaving.
And it's now me and Patrick Creighton rooming. And that's why he went off on that tangent about me picking up hookers and stuff like that in Vegas. That's the whole deal.
So he went on the tangent about you picking up hookers because he's worried you're going to bring one back to the room?
Why would he be worried that I'm bringing one back to the room? I think he needs me to bring one back to the room. Let's be honest.
Actually, think about it. Economically, now, it's saving him money.
I was going to tweet out a side-by-side, but...
Economically, it's saving him money. He doesn't Instead even... of paying for Spectrovision, yeah. he's got it live and in living color if he just shuts his mouth.
He could just watch you. Oh, God. Now that I think about it, I would think I'd...
Like I said, I was going to tweet a side-by-side, but... when I was trying to crop the picture, I couldn't keep his whole body in the picture.
See?
Because I was just going to set a pole and have people, but I couldn't do it. So
that wasn't shots fired. That was a machine gun shots fired. Wow.
Flamethrower.
So you couldn't fit him in.
My picture fit perfectly.
Did you try
to 170 pounds because I weigh what average people
did
weigh.
Did you try to rotate your phone, go landscape and do it? Maybe it would fit in landscape mode. No?
No, it didn't work. Okay. Wasn't functional. Photoshop couldn't do it.
He broke Photoshop.
Yeah. Photoshop shut down.
It happens. You know, it happens. That's interesting. So you're going to be rooming with him for one night. What are the chances? And we just made up, so this isn't going to go well. But I'm going to say it anyways. What are the chances he has sleep apnea? What do you think the odds are?
Nick brings a girl home, and it looks like a stormtrooper.
Like, oh my God!
Mascot.
Are you rooming with Bane from Batman? He's all,
hello, Nick.
Don't worry, he's died 17 times already. He'll be fine.
Like, that was actually AJ's concern. He's like, "Do you snore?" I'm like, "I don't know. I can't hear myself sleeping."
Right? Have you? But you've
been told,
snoring, right?
Oh, I've been told I snore. Yeah.
Hello, Nick.
Do you think he travels? Because they have those little CPAPs you can travel with. I bet. Has to, right?
Looks like Top Gun. He's got the whole fighter pilot mask like, on.
He's just, yeah.
Playing Danger Zone.
Nick's over there banging the Danger Zone. I feel the need. Put your hand down, Crazy. I'm not high-fiving you right now.
And you're not tag-teaming into this thing either.
Oh, my God. Goose. Well, that's going to be interesting. I wonder, do you think he sleeps in pajamas, boxers,
I don't know. I'm
going
to try and get out of it. I'm trying to get out of it.
What, sharing a room with him?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to...
How do you do that? You come back early?
Get your own room?
That would be one option, to come back early. But I'll try to get my own room.
Oh. How are you going to do that? Are you going to just...
I might just pay for one.
If you win big...
Yeah.
You'll be in.
Never
or
know.
Blackjack. If the first couple days go well and you find a good
I've
one.
I've never had good luck in gambling, ever.
Find no, I'm not talking about luck. Gambling. I'm talking about if you
pick up
a good chick the first night and things are going well, that might influence you a little bit.
Maybe switch it up and do like, exactly, Pink Valkyrie. She's on Twitter. Oh, now Nick is the third of the show. Yeah. Exactly, Pink Valkyrie.
I was never a third of the show.
We've always been second fiddle, and that's now it's just coming to light. It's being proven.
But
now.
It's a crowded house with the Blitz because Lance claims to be a part of the show, too.
Well, you know, that's just how it goes. When we're back on top, I don't want to hear it. He's going to come crawling back to us, and he'll be
speaking
like, oh,
of back
guys,
on top,
I have all these great ideas for way back. It's too late. It's just too late.
Speaking of back on top, I mean, when you get back on, you've had good luck in Vegas. So if you meet a chick early on in the proceedings.
Oh, I forgot about your last trip.
So
it was the second to the last trip was the one he's referring to.
Right.
I'm just saying you've had good luck. Right. So I'm saying that's not out of the realm of possibilities that would be why you would make arrangements.
We try to have fun. We work hard, but we try to have fun. We have usually two or three awesome days of shows. We have an opportunity to, you know, meet boxers and analysts in between those times. In between that time, the Radio Row shows and the actual fight. Then we get a chance to go to the fight, go to the post-fight presser, and then, you know, have a little fun. So it's work hard, play hard kind of situation awesome. When we go to Vegas, without a doubt.
Better than the Super Bowl or not as good?
No, the Super Bowl was probably one of my best. That is the best Radio Row. Probably one of the best experiences I've ever had. As a broadcaster or as a producer in radio.
It was pretty cool for all of us.
It was a lot of fun.
Because you don't just meet athletes. You meet celebrities. You meet singers. You meet rappers.
Comedians.
I was getting my haircut this morning with J. Rowe over at Current Cuts. And we were talking about this very thing. Because when I got there, in the chair ahead of me was Deshaun Watson. Mm. And this was not at the private studio that he has in Nine Innovations over here by the Galleria. This was at the barber shop over there off Tidwell in 59.
Mm-hmm. The actual original.
Yeah. So, I mean, just walk in and, oh, look, there's Deshaun Watson, one of the you know, best young quarterbacks in the NFL, just sitting in the chair getting his hair cut. For me, I didn't even blink. I walked right past him. I was like, what's up, J-Ro? Put my bag up, sat down. No big deal. I see athletes all the time. We've met them at Super Bowl, Radio Row. I mean, doing comedy, I've gotten to meet. So it used to be kind of cool, but now it's just like, okay, let that man live his life, whatever. And there were a bunch of dudes there that were like staring. And so when he left, they were the Freddie, one of the barbers that's next to him, was saying how some of his friends were there when Deshaun first got there. And they were just like, you think he would sign something? Like, they were just like, they didn't know how to approach it. And J-Ro started talking about the fact that he doesn't even know half of the football players that he cuts. He has no idea who they are. He loves basketball, but he has no idea. And he said, you just get used to it. Like, when he was playing basketball, Drexler was his coach. George Gervin Jr., Moses Malone Jr., he played with. So, like, So he was around all of this. And so it becomes, you get desensitized to it. And I think Super Bowl, and I told him, like, yeah, Radio Row for Super Bowl did that for us. Like, you see all these celebrities, and then at the end, you're just like, okay. I mean, they're just people. They just have, you know.
Except Stephen A.
He's
a little extra. He's just a little extra.
A little?
Yeah. 50 yards away and he's in your ear. Yeah. He's a little extra.
But I could see where you're like, it's cool at first, but then it's like, no big deal. It kind of loses its appeal at some point, which sucks.
It's almost like you're spoiled, but you get accustomed to it because you're spoiled.
And I told him the only time that I really and truly geeked out was...
On Radio Row? No. When we had Cube on the show.
Absolutely. And yeah. He goes, you got to interview Ice Cube? That's his favorite person of all time, too.
And I believe that this summer when they come back, she's already told me this year we're going to have him in studio.
See? Oh, my God. I'm going to be
for
such
me,
a
for
fan.
For me, it was Dana White.
Stop it.
Ooh.
You, it was the, what were they called?
Fits
in the tantrums.
No.
But I didn't really get nervous around them. I was actually very happy to meet.
Right.
When Dana White...
Meet the tantrum? One of the tantrums.
Meet Fitz.
Just a tantrum.
Yeah.
Not Fitz all and they the weren't
tantrum.
Roofing?
Not the entire
Fitz
tantrum.
Fitz and they weren't roofing?
So well, Dana White was yours, huh?
Yeah, man. He must have thought I was a complete a-hole. Hi, can I take a pic?
Can I rub your head?
Like, everybody else was, I really like that fight. UFC 100 was badass, blah, 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 and all this. And I just, hi. Like, I was just...
Hi.
I was just so dry that I was like... I was just shocked that Dana White was in front of me.
Yours was Euchre, wasn't it?
No, I looked forward to meeting him and then was completely let down by that, but I wasn't like geeked up like that. Like, to me, it can kind of, to your point, being around it and working in sports your whole life, you get used to it. But there were times, the whole MJ factor, even after I got to know him and like was allowed in his circle, like to golf and stuff, it never got old for me.
Right.
The one that didn't happen that I wanted, that I was supposed to happen twice, it got rained out, was Charles had lined up Brett Favre because he wanted me to play golf with him.
Oh, nice.
And we got rained out twice. That would have been that would have been cool.
You'd have had a little simmy.
I don't know about that, chub, but I was looking forward to it.
Right. I feel you. Oh, my God.
All right. Hey.
Oh, God. I just put my mouth in the microphone.
Soft. I wasn't going to say it, but now it's out there.
Oh, my God.
Barry just gave oral to the mic. We'll be back with the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Big show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always a pleasure having you along for the ride. And eventually, if you do it long enough and... in-depth enough, you'll become a suspect, like so many that are so happy when 1 o'clock strikes. I did want to get your opinion on one thing, sir. And it's not your podcast yet. I want to ask you...
The 15.
Huh? I did a video for sportsmap.com based on a Richard Justice article.
We discussed that 2 days ago, right?
But Monday? Right, but I want to throw the other side of it at you.
Okay.
What if of the teams that were going to be the mystery teams, and the Astros being one of them, what if it wasn't Harper? What if it was Machado? Do you see any way that makes sense?
No.
See, I didn't either.
How do you, unless you plan on trading one of those guys you'd have to move them.
I was going
to
say,
are you going to ask Alex Bregman or Carlos Correa to go play the outfield? Are you going to move them to first base? Or are you going to have them DH
say, or
only?
First base or, yeah.
You're going to have them DH only?
Right.
You're talking about two guys that Bregman already moved once.
But think about this, his elbow. So he could DH for a year based on the fact that his elbow might not be up to par after surgery.
Who are you talking about?
Bregman.
Yeah, but he already moved once.
Yeah.
Correa didn't want to move. That's why Bregman did.
Right.
And Machado doesn't want to move. He wants to play shortstop. So now you basically say to Correa, you want to play third or first? And then so it's a pecking order thing. Are you going to give Machado, who's brand new to the team, the carte blanche to say, well, it's up to you. Well, I want to play short. All right, Correa, you're next in line. Where do you want to play, third or first? Because Machado picks short. It's just, I think it would be a bad move. And I don't see this team getting a Bryce Harper. Would I be ecstatic? Yes.
Man, for one
Am I
year,
pessimistic?
Though?
Yes, I'm pessimistic.
Sure. Think about this.
1 year, maybe.
He had a down year last year in Washington. He wanted a $400 million deal. The offers are sitting sub 250 right now in the two range for both him and Machado.
But the Phillies are about to make him an offer.
But
they're about to. And it's going to be larger than any offer he's got so far.
And that very well may be the case. But let's just say if he was to look at mystery teams, whatever teams, and say for 1 year, the ballpark is extremely conducive. The situation where he's going to get pitches to hit because of the fact that he's got so many hitters around him, and he could get a chance to go after a ring, it would seem less far-fetched simply because of the fact that of all the teams that were mentioned and all the opportunities that he might possibly have, this one might give him all the intangibles.
You understand that having a down year, there might be something. That might not just have been an isolated thing.
Sure, it's possible.
I mean, guys start to decline, mm-hmm. right? And now he's super young, so I'm not suggesting that it's because of age. But you never know what could happen, right? I mean, look at Rick Ankiel. On top of the world, fell off. So do you risk that, or do you hold out and say, nope, I want a long-term deal, and I want it to be as big as possible? At the end of the day, if you don't get one, then, yeah, you've got to explore the 1 year and then hope you don't make it. But that can't be what he's looking at. And if the Astros are tying themselves up to say, well, we'll offer you a 10-year deal, you can forget this team being competitors then.
Right.
Because they can't sign half of the dudes that they need to sign going forward.
And you're not the Yankees. You're not the Red Sox. You
Absolutely
don't have a
not.
Major cable deal. You don't have all the incomes and the extra incomes coming in like those major market teams with major market streams do. And so you're not handcuffed like Milwaukee, per se, or small market.
Right.
But you're still limited.
Still limited.
Trying to compete with the Dodgers, Yankees, and Red Sox.
No doubt. And the Phillies have a ton of money that they want to spend. I don't see it happening. I would love it, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope, like you said, it's a one-year deal. The Astros have maybe, I would say, at the upper end, the max limit, 3 years to win another World Series.
I don't disagree with that.
On the short end, it's next year or it's not going to happen for the next 5 to 6 years.
Depending on what happens with the guys you have
to sign. Depending on who you sign. Yeah. And is Jim Crane really in this to win this year in and year out and compete with the likes of the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cubs by spending money?
I think he's got a taste of it. I think he likes it. I'm going to say that.
It's like crack, right? You're hoping he gets addicted.
And Nick, here's the analogy I'm going to make. That's going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people, too. And that is, if Bryce Harper, and you're right, because I've heard the same thing, Phillies are going to make him an offer. At some point, it's going to be a big offer. But if Bryce Harper decides, it's not my cup of tea, Philly, the whole situation, being the savior, all these things, and I want a one-year deal, there's a track record there that's probably that he can look at basketball and see the same thing. Boogie Cousins thought he was going to get a max deal. He's going to get one of those monster deals. He's going to collect all that money. Got hurt. Now, obviously, Harper didn't get hurt, but Harper's caveat is he didn't have a big year.
Right.
So Boogie Cousins did the exact thing that Harper could do is follow a ring. You know what? Flip the script. Normally, veterans late in their careers go to try and win the ring at the end of it to try and walk away with the hardware that people hold over their head for Hall of Fame and stuff. Boogie Cousins said, I'm going to go try and get a ring this year with Golden State. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to get paid next year. And then I'm going to go get my multi-year big-time super deal. He could try and follow that path.
And in baseball, that might make more sense than the other. I mean, baseball is less wear and tear. You have less chance. I mean, you can get injured, and Lord knows Harper has been injured before. But it makes the most sense to do that because of the longevity of the sport itself. But I think, to me, the reason I don't think these guys think like short term is because to get to the point that Harper is at is such a long process in baseball. You go through the seasoning and the minors.
You go through team control
and arbitration, and then by the time you get your shot, damn it, I want my money. And now you're telling me because I had a down year, the market's cold, and I got to wait another full season to get a 10-year deal?
But you know how we all are. The fact of the matter is, if all year you've been dangled around a $400 million tag, and then all of a sudden you get kicked in the grapes, and they go, hey, you know that $400 mil is getting more, it's shrinking every day. Let's talk 175 if you're Machado. Let's talk half of that.
We didn't mention it, but Joe Maddon said Bryce Harper joining the clubs is not going to happen. So you can mark them off the list.
Yeah, the teams.
What were the teams that Justice said?
So
it was Astros, Phillies.
I don't know that the Phillies were a mystery team.
The Phillies are the front runner, I believe.
Yeah, they're the front runner for Harper, and then Machado's front runner, Chicago. But Chicago offered 8 years at 175.
Okay.
So that's a lot less than $400 million, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's the thing. So that's why, you know, there was a lot of mention out there by Richard Justice of these mystery teams. The Dodgers, because, look, the whole thing with the Dodgers was, hey, they're clearing house. They're getting rid of Puig, and they're getting rid of a couple of outfielders so they have room to sign Bryce Harper. And then that didn't materialize. And you got to believe, if you're him, a Vegas kid close to L.A. as it is, going, this is the ideal thing for me. Instead of going to Philly, I can go West Coast, closer to home, in L.A., major market, endorsements up the Yahoo with Under Armour already and other things. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, my phone's not ringing. Where are you?
Hello.
Magic Johnson, where are you?
Guys, Bob Nightingale on Twitter tweeted this out 22 hours ago. The Phillies, according to team executives, have visions of signing Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrel.
Dang.
Yeah. That's legit. They are going to spend money. And
well, I know that they had a lot of money to spend.
Oh, yeah. So that's going to be interesting. Right, they get two out of the three. That's a damn good offseason.
It's still a haul, right?
Yeah.
So that would be big. All right, the five mystery teams, according to Richard Justice, again, the Giants, the Rangers, the Padres, the Cardinals, and the Astros. Of those five teams, the Cardinals are on the uptick a little bit, but if you're going to pick one of those five teams, the Astros have to be leading the pack.
I would agree with you, but I think the Cardinals are close second. The Padres are looking. They got Hosmer in the offseason last year. They're probably looking to start the rebuild. They sucked this year, but they did better than they thought they would. But they just play in a really tough division in the NL West. But they hung in there for half a season, so they've got some young talent. I'm with you, though. I think the Astros are the
Pollock? They signed someone from the Diamondbacks, too, I think, in the offseason. So they're spending some money, but
they are. Well, they said they would. They said they were going to spend a little money. I just feel like they're kind of the Braves 3 years ago. They're just a couple of years away from being legitimate contenders in that division. So.
All right. So there you go. There's a little baseball for you. Hey, stay tuned and hang with us, because we're going to give you a chance to win a couple of tickets to the Houston Auto Show. We're going to fill you in on the weight loss challenge and do a whole bunch more. It's all coming up next on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number 2, 3-hour show. We do like to give back to you, the peeps, that make it all possible for us here at Gow Media. Therefore, we have a special giveaway for you right now. The Houston Auto Show is upon us. It'll be January the 23rd to the 27th at NRG Center. It's the largest auto show of the South. First place you can see, hear, touch, drive, and experience the industry's latest and greatest offerings in the automobile industry. And if you don't win a pair of tickets to the 36th annual auto show, they are available at HoustonAutoShow.com. You can get yours now and experience over 800,000 square feet of automotive excitement. And for all you car fans out there, we're going to give you a chance to win two tickets right now. Call number 15, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Caller 15, two tickets, Houston Auto Show, go.
Good luck.
There you go. Caller number 15, yep.
Huh, the 15, huh? Caller number 15.
You see what I did there, Barry?
Imagine that.
I gave you the perfect setup.
You didn't even realize you did that, did
to
you?
Knock it out of the park. I wouldn't go 13 because it's unlucky, but at the same time, I was lucky enough to get a number that made sense.
And then you were like, oh, damn it. Now he's going to bring up a stupid podcast.
No, I'm good.
That's funny.
So there you have that.
Yeah.
All right, so Rockets back at it tonight. We talked about Daniel House, but let's get it out of the way. Harden continues on this string. Is he going to make it 18? 18 straight games if he gets 30-plus tonight.
I mean, who else is going to get the points?
Well, now that Daniel House is out of the lineup, there's seven more he can have.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see, I saw a graphic on the two-game-ago broadcast where they showed the fact that Capella, Gordon, and Paul was out. You know how many points that is on the bench? 49 exactly a game. Mm-hmm. 50 points a game on the bench, and then, of course, you've got James putting up his 30 to 40, right. 35. So you're like, man, where the hell is the scoring coming from if it's not going to be from Harden?
That's the thing.
They could score 60 points if he has a bad night, it feels like.
Without question. And it's a historic run. And look, worked with him, around him, amazing, seen him and watched him, do I put him in the same air as Jordan and LeBron and scorers and best, you know, all these accolades coming his way, best offensive player in the history of the game? I don't, just at first look, but boy, you can't fight some of these stats he's putting up. The only thing to me is how long can he keep doing this? And you know, Chris Paul's supposed to be back soon. Eric Gordon's supposedly going to be playing tonight. He needs to because Daniel House is no longer there. But overall, these astronomical numbers are great for the regular season, but he's going to be out of gas come postseason if they don't find some help for him.
It has to be a concern. Here's the good news, though. Paul is due back when? He's the first
one
due back.
Within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's the first one due back.
And no, then, Gordon tonight.
Oh, is it Gordon tonight?
Gordon's supposedly going to play tonight.
Okay, well, there's your scoring then. But it's going to take him some time to get back into shape, too. Mm-hmm. But as these guys get back and healthy for maybe, you know, within the month of February, they'll have a month and a half to gel, and they'll also have a month and a half to get him some rest, to get Harden some rest by letting them pick up the slack and play more minutes, assuming they don't get hurt again.
Assuming that they sit where they sit now within the top four of the Western Conference, because what you don't want is now you get these guys back, but hey, here's another pressure cooker for you. You're sitting at about the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, and you really got to put the pedal down one more time to try and get to either a home court advantage situation or, you know, to make sure you're in and solidify your spot, and now you got to press go again for Harden, and he's still got to keep bringing it for you.
Are you worried, though, that they slip? I mean, behind them right now, Portland, the Clippers, the Spurs, the Lakers in the 8th seed, and they're garbage. They're talking about firing Luke Walton. Well, his job might be in jeopardy.
But again, it shows you the importance and the value of how good LeBron is. So when you look at it, the bigger concern, too, is when you say that your focal point of concentration and focus is the Golden State Warriors. What they did last night to the number one at the time seed in the Western Conference lets you know they are still head and shoulders about any team in this league. And when they add Boogie Cousins, they may even get better.
Yeah, but I'm saying behind them, all the teams that the Rockets would have to worry about, I think, and maybe Portland, maybe. But all the teams that the Rockets have to worry about, I feel like, are ahead of them already. That being the Nuggets, the Thunder, and the Warriors. Maybe the Blazers, but you're talking 4 and 5. You're playing each other anyway, so what does that seed matter? If you're 4 or you're 5, home court.
Home court's important.
Yeah. I've always felt like, it is important, but
if you look at end results and series and things like that, especially with a 4 or 5, I think home court's important.
But okay, so that's just one team, though. That's just one team that you would have to hold off. And the Blazers aren't lights out. I mean, they're sitting, they're actually tied with the Rockets right now at 4.5 out, but they have one more loss. But after that, are you worried about the Clippers? They can't get it together. Are you worried about the Spurs?
They have the ability to give you a handful.
Lost two in a row.
Two in a row
in their last 10.
But still, they got DeRozan. They got Aldridge. They got some pieces that can do some things. And again, if you're relying so greatly on the shoulders of one guy come playoff time, Chris Paul better be healthy and he better step up his game.
Yeah.
Because this, more than last year, for sure, he's got to take a bigger scoring role and a bigger overall domination role just so Harden does have a chance to rest.
But I would feel comfortable with Harden being able to rest in the last month, which is a handful of games. I realize that, but it's still the last month of the season. He's not out. He's not sitting, but maybe he does sit every fifth game, and maybe he does reduce his minutes down to 36 instead of 40.
He's the guy that's fought it in the past. He's got to accept it this year, and here's the other thing. He's susceptible to injury. He's susceptible to injury because he's really pushing it right now.
But he's so durable. He's so tough.
But again, I mean, you can't say Chris Paul is, but I mean, there's a lot of guys in the league that you can say. LeBron is supposedly durable, right?
Yeah.
And LeBron was having to do a whole lot more than even he had to do with Cleveland because of the young roster of the Lakers, and it caught up to him, and now he's never missed more than 8 games in a row in his career. I think he's on 12 or 13 right now. So I worry about a lot of things because of how fragile the situation with the Rockets is right now, and he needs help.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They've got to make a move, obviously. And again, you say yourself all the time, you've got to wait and see what this team looks like after the deadline.
Sure,
and that's when you can really figure out. So I think there's moves to be made yet. Now, whether they're big splashes or depth or what, we'll find out. The Austin Rivers move was already paying dividends,
fantastic.
And I think that was great. So we'll see what else Morey has up his sleeve. I feel like, though, the Rockets, if they slip, it's not going to be far. They're certainly not going to bounce out of the playoffs. I mean,
no, I would agree with you, but I think the Lakers are going to move up. I think the Spurs will move back up. I think there'll be some teams, like
Jazz,
you said.
Maybe.
I think the Jazz are a good team. I think the Clippers will slide down. But I think overall, look for the Rockets to look at those buyouts, like how they got Austin Rivers, how they found a Daniel House. If they can find guys, and there's guys out there, depending on what happens with Enes Kanter or a Wes Matthews Jr., or even a Harrison Barnes, because Dallas is supposedly trying to move those two guys as well. Those are guys that may end up, just like it was a fluke, but the Suns didn't want Austin Rivers. So they traded for him, and they just sent him out the door, and the Rockets were like, hey, come on in.
Yeah, we'll
Chandler Parsons is a guy. You didn't want to pay him $14 million plus a year, but if you only got to pay him, you know, a veteran's minimum deal just to get him on the roster, and he can, as experience,
well, you're talking about injury prone.
But he can give you something every other night.
If he's healthy.
You want him or Gary Clark? Thank you. Yeah, all right, there you go.
Somebody said, this is why I love the show. Shots fired daily. Ha ha. We shoot shots at everybody. Anyone else think Barry sounds like that guy Sal from Impractical Jokers?
Someone's mentioned that in the past.
Yeah, by the way, you guys are the best show out there. Thank you. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Lawn care question.
Nope. Nick, buzzer, please.
Lawn care
now.
Question.
Thank you.
I'm seeing people cut their yard right now while it's raining. Is that a good choice? No Triola Oz. That's the dumbest thing you could
do.
Did
you not hear the buzzer?
Is cut your yard while it's wet or raining. Don't do that. Don't do that.
With an electric mower?
Yeah, do that.
There's an idea.
Ray said, Barry, I'm listening to your stand-up on YouTube. Your bits on Houston are spot on. Keep it up. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. That's
Joel Osteen said that, too.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to disappoint you.
Oh.
One guy the Rockets aren't going to be bringing in is one of your all-time favorites. And even more surprising, he was not only signed to a 10-day contract, but he played last night.
Damn it!
He's a shooter, Barry.
Who?
Corey Brewer.
Oh, I did see that.
With the
good
Sixers.
For him.
Yep, good for him. Good dude. Yeah. All right, hey, we got two in the books. We got 1 hour still to go. That means the sports mappers are going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.